Please make yourselves comfortable. There's tea and water over there. We've been talking recently about life is difficult. I had to remind myself of three aspects of what it is that we do in our practice that can help us to recognize, see, and change the way we view circumstances, people, things, feeling out of control, feeling like we want things to be a certain way, all of that. These three things are summed up as being don't know, don't make, and how can you help? So don't make. This is the wheel of samsara. This is what we're on when we're making something out of it. When we are holding on to some view of how things are and not really opening up the hand of thought with don't know and seeing things without any judgment, without any pressure, without any desire to have it outcome the way you think it should be. And lastly, once you understand what it is you're dealing with, the energies of the situation you're in, your view, your attitude, taking responsibility for what it is that you're projecting on this reality that you're experiencing that isn't real. But you're going to convince everybody around you, including yourself, that it's real. So don't know. It's opening the hand of thought. It's abiding by bodhi. It's abiding by how things actually are. It's abiding by causes and conditions, this and that, allowing for things to unfold just perfectly because they will when you get your ass out of the way. And I had to learn this the hard way over and over and over again, causing conflict with myself and others, feeling stressed out, tension, anxiety, anger, all from making something out of it. Change. So we say, well, change is difficult. It's not the change that's difficult. Change is always, it's the nature of things. It's our wanting it to be the way we are projecting it to be. It's that grasping, that holding on. We talk about this over and over again, but the universe keeps throwing it in our faces until we begin to see and understand what this is. It's our own projection. And if we stop, we don't make, we don't know, then we can see. Intuition works. And then we have this great opportunity. We have this opportunity to say, oh, I'm sorry. Or how can I help? How can I make this better? I'm not suggesting life isn't difficult. I'm just saying, you know, if you can just remember these things, don't make, don't know, and how can I help? I think things will go a little easier. Ultimately, we want to wake up. Nirvana is available to all of us, but not when we're grasping, when we're making, and we're knowing. What's wonderful about relationships is that's where a lot of this gets worked out. Or it doesn't. Or we stay on that wheel of samsara and we just keep creating suffering. So you could stay there. You know, you could dig a hole for yourself. Or you can, don't know. See what happens. Don't know instead of knowing. It's very interesting. It's the place of healing. It's the place of harmony, balance, compassion. I don't know. This is what I'm having to learn over and over again. But it's a wonderful lesson, and I'm happy to learn it. And I'm really grateful that I am learning it rather than just staying on that wheel. It's like a breakthrough moment. It's like breaking through and saying, aha, I get it. And recognizing it. It's interesting how even the most hopeful, wonderful things happening in our lives can bring about this sort of making. You know, practice isn't just sitting on the cushion. Don't know, don't make. How can I help?
It's like something occurs and you get worked up about it.
Yeah.
And it ties you up and you get stressed and you're like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And what is it? Kind of like the snake in the rope kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then, so what really changes in reality when someone comes up to you and tells you that it's not a snake? That nothing really. I mean, then you realize, oh, well, there's nothing to worry about now. But a second ago, it was all these things to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, if to speak experientially, like in personal experience, that the stark difference between the anxiety-ridden self, the reactive, and the something happens, and it's all about me, and it's this, I'm just spewing, you know, scenarios and solutions and and reasons and posting my responsibilities onto whatever objects that are out there. So it's very interesting to have the experience of not doing that.
Yes.
Which is not making, right?
Yes.
It's not something you can really try to do. it's kind of weird. Like I can't really put that together. But when it is, it's how much is the minimum amount of ego that one could have? And the answer is just enough so that you don't get hit by a bus. I always like that one. And it's pretty freeing because, you know, that don't know and the ease with not having to react or respond to stimulus or even yourself in some way. You can be at ease with ease and at ease with unease and all the things.
Yes.
You can be at ease with all of those things.
Having to do these other things in relationships, you know, whether it's work or family or, you know, spouse or whatever, that kind of feedback is very interesting because it's a work in progress. You get to see what you're creating.
I can tell, I gave the example of dealing with a flat tire on a rainy night.
Yeah.
You can chill when you got to change your tire on a cold, windy, wet night.
Well, yeah. So my most interesting experience about being chill was the time we went and sat or walked up on top of the celery fields when the mosquitoes were biting us. I sat through it And it was amazing to me that I could sit through it. I don't know how I did it. I don't know. There was no sort of me being attached to mosquitoes biting or not biting, or it was just, it was intense experience, very intense physically. You know, you're not bouncing up and down. It's like, it is what it is, comfort or uncomfort. It's neither comfort or uncomfort. It's being at ease with whatever is. Can't always happen, you know. But for me at the time, it was like, I didn't know. I didn't want to get up. I sat through it, but it wasn't like torture. It wasn't like I was being tortured. There was some point where it was just, okay, this is what is happening. And I know I'll survive it. And about not making, might be all mosquitoes. It'll still be what it is.
Yeah, you know, an interesting thing is like, let's say like the work environment I'm in is not a peaceful place.
Right.
It's challenging. It's overwhelming. Get overworked. There's too complicated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I can easily let that bowl me over. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you get close, but you know, yeah. I could literally, you know, tear my hair out and bite my fingernails off and all that kind of stuff. But I can, you know, use the opportunity to take this unreasonable situation and see what it does. You know, I don't know. You know, I suppose have a certain sense of humor mm-hmm. in what's going on, and that definitely makes me feel like I'm taking it beyond the cushion a bit.
So it, again, that's don't know. Mm-hmm. Pulling your hair out would be making. You know, you've already made it into something. Oh, I can't bear this. This is impossible. Blah blah blah.
Can't stand it.
Blah 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 blah. I went to this retreat one time where that was one of the exercises. We had to sit around and complain by just using blah blah blah. Make it real by saying blah blah blah.
Yeah. One thing I think in relation to this, though, that I've learned from a lot of the I don't know is just being the norm is how to work on some more of the don't make. And also, how can I help, but with an extension on that, where the difference between being selfish and self-full, where how can I help myself comes into play, especially with how do I help myself so that the not making can also be real? Because when I help myself, it means I take a look at the anxiety or the stress or the feeling that there's a charge, especially from the doing parts and the action parts and the need for that to catalyze things so that as it slows down, it helps me. And the more I can help myself, the more I'm in a space where that peacefulness is helpful, because it's also now the calm and ease that others get to experience when they're in that space with me, when there's all sorts of things flying around. They're just kind of like, so that's been really important.
That's a good point. Thank you. Yeah, so I think it was Bodhidharma's student that said, please pacify my mind. He said, bring it to me and I'll pacify it. He said, but I can't find it. I said, see, I pacified it. Good talk. Thank you.
Thank you.